Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 4 to 6 on 1600 ESPN. This is Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
Here we go. Happy Wednesday. How you doing? Spencer on Sports here on 1600 ESPN. Eastern Iowa's home for sports. Another Power Hour edition of the show. I've got exactly 1 hour to squeeze 2 hours worth of content in. Got Cubs baseball coming your way at 5:05 tonight. Pre-game show starts at that time. First pitch just past 5:40. You'll hear the game. Series finale with Tampa Bay on all of our frequencies tonight, 1600 AM, 102.3 FM, and Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM, if you're in Iowa City or Johnson County proper. And you can't stream the Cubs. We're not allowed to stream that, but you could stream this show at KGYMradio.com. Threw a wrench into what I was going to say there. You ever had that where you're about to say something and you're like, wait, that doesn't really apply? Yeah, that's how things go. We can't stream the Cubs for you. That's against the rules, but you can stream everything else here on 1600 ESPN, including this show, Spencer on Sports, our national ESPN radio programming, including the Rich Eisen Show, Freddie and Harry, Unsportsmanlike in the mornings, Marty and McGee. I know we got plenty of Marty and McGee fans out there on Saturday mornings at 6. You can catch all that right here on 1600 ESPN and on our stream, KGYMradio.com. And in our free KGYM Sports Radio app. Spencer Wagon with you for this Power Hour edition of the show. We'll talk some baseball later on in the program today. We'll wrap things up with a quick check of the sports menu. Have some day baseball games that have wrapped up already today. Some games in progress. It's getaway day for most teams here across the major leagues. Final day of a three-game series. Tomorrow's a travel day for most. And then series start up this weekend for a lot of the teams, especially in the Central Divisions, including the Chicago Cubs. They're back at Wrigley Field this weekend. We'll take a quick look at tonight's matchup, that finale with the Rays, coming up later on in the show. Lots of things to get to in our Power Hour today. We're going to get you an update from the Masters. And with my voice not being the best yet, I can't really do this to the full effect, but maybe it does help us promote the fact that it is Masters Week. We've got Masters updates throughout the rest of the week and into the weekend here on Eastern Iowa's home for sports. I promise you, I'm not going to sit here and do the rest of the show like this, but I could if I wanted to. And it may actually help me rest the old vocal cords so I'm back to normal. But we will get you a Masters update coming up here in about, I'd say, 15 to 20 minutes or so here on 1600 ESPN. I'm just good. I should really do the show. Some of you have suggested doing the show with the music bed. I don't know if the full two-hour edition would work with this. I'd probably cause some car accidents by playing the peaceful music that reminds you of Augusta behind us here on the radio. We need some lively music. The German polka bed has been suggested, but this time of the year it's all about the azaleas and pimento cheese sandwiches. Masters update, my point is, coming up here later on in the show on 1600 ESPN. Got some college sports stuff to talk about. We're tracking the transfer portal. Not a lot happening today. I shouldn't say not a lot happening. There's plenty happening in the transfer portal, but not in terms of Iowa and Iowa State. And I don't know, is no news good news? The day is still young. The portal window is still young. And we know better as college sports fans to assume that silence is golden when it comes to the transfer portal. But we'll get some details on the latest that's happened in the portal coming up later on in the show. Want to check in, if we can, some spring football discussion. We'll hear from both Iowa and Iowa State after 4:30. Representatives from both teams coming up in the second half hour of the Power Hour today. And then, like I said, we'll dive into the sports menu, take a look at what's going on tonight in baseball and with Major League Baseball and the NBA and hockey. Those seasons winding down, too. Lots of NBA news. We're getting a lot of allegations of tanking, players coming out and saying that tanking is bad. We've got, the whole disaster that is the Milwaukee Bucks happening and imploding in front of us. You know, we don't need to go and get too far into that, but playoff time coming for both the NBA and the Stanley Cup playoffs as well in hockey. We'll choose our team of the show coming up in a couple weeks. NFL draft on the way too. That's also just a couple weeks away. So plenty happening here, despite college hoop season coming to an end. Just this past weekend with the women's championship game and the men's championship game, which we talked about yesterday on the show. 319-366-1600 is that talk line and the text line as we get going here on a Wednesday afternoon. Let's start the conversation with a little hoops talk. What do you say?
What's happening?
Big news. This just in.
This is really important.
Wow, that is really, really big.
All right, starting up here on a Wednesday, 319-366-1600. Spencer at Sports with you for this Power Hour edition of the show this April 8th afternoon. Mentioned some baseball wrapping up on the south side of Chicago. White Sox trailing the Baltimore Orioles. Bottom half of the ninth inning there. O's looking to close it out down at Rate Field. Northsiders in action, like I said, at 5:40 tonight down at the Trop in Tampa. But before we get to anything that's happening on the diamond, let's talk about some hardwood topics here on a Wednesday afternoon. Not too much movement when it comes to the NCAA transfer portal, at least involving Iowa and Iowa State teams. We're still kind of seeing the intel trickle out about who's visiting where. Of course, we've spent a lot of time talking about the women's side of the portal because there have been so many entries for both Iowa and Iowa State on that side, but not too many here for both the Hawkeyes and Cyclones, at least in the early stages of the transfer portal. I looked at the numbers, and of course I left my note sheet in the office, so I'll have to do this from memory. That's great prep on my part, but something about 1,600 I think players, that works out for us here at 1600 ESPN, but I believe it was 1,600 women's basketball players are now in the portal, and close to the same for the men's. May have had the numbers maybe transposed there. But, you know, again, like I said yesterday, nothing that should shock any of us too much when it comes to the number of players in the portal, because this is just how things happen in college sports. Nothing at least definitive to report for Iowa and Iowa State. We've learned of, through different sources like On3 and the different recruiting sites, 24/7 Sports, that do their reporting on who's going where and who's visiting where. We've learned of some visits, right? I'll let you do the reading there, and you could read more about, you know, what some of the intel there. But we haven't seen anything definitive when it comes to, at least in the men's side, this is the player who's leaving. We've had a couple from Iowa State. We talked about Dominic Nelson yesterday. Also had a few other players, with some different intel or movement that could be visiting towns, visiting Ames or Iowa City. But we haven't seen a lot of big ticket flowing in or big ticket flowing out, at least just yet. And I think the important thing that we talked about over and over again when it comes to the transfer portal is, look, things change quickly, right? Players have a change of heart pretty quickly. This is that time of the year now that the season is over. Coaching staffs are having, exit meetings with their players, right? They're discussing the future, right? And especially if you're either one of those schools that had a good run of success this year, for Iowa, it's, hey, how do you build on, right, this foundation that was laid with not only the season that they had year one for Ben McCollum, but the run that they had going to not only the Sweet 16 but the Elite Eight. Not a guarantee they get back to either round next year, but how do you parlay that success into next year, the year after that? And that's a lot of the discussions that are happening behind closed doors right now. For both sides, right? For Iowa State, it's, hey, got to the Sweet 16 again. Injuries were a factor. You can't prep for injuries. You can't plan for injuries. You can't predict them. It's just it's bad luck that Joshua Jefferson got hurt so soon into their tournament run. And you can play the what-if game all you want, but it's prepping for the future and trying to build on, that standard of success for T.J. Otzelberger and company as to what they want to do there in Ames and how do they build a team that can get them past the Sweet 16 into the Elite Eight for the first time under his tenure there in Ames. So a lot of discussions happening, a lot of scanning and searching. I've said this before. I don't envy coaches. I don't envy the staffs that they have right now, especially this time of year because this is what they signed up for, right? So it's not a pity party or a woe is me kind of thing, but I don't envy having to do, double or triple the work, especially when it comes to trying to figure out who's on your team next year. Right. And, you can make that case for the women's side, too, for especially somebody like Bill Fenley with losing 9-10 initially, but one has opted to come back. Man, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. But that's your job now. That is part of the job description in college sports, being a college head coach, being a college coach on the staff. This time of year, you have to, I've got paper in front of me. You can't see this. So this is really a bad analogy, but you're kind of, okay, here's who's coming back. Here's who's leaving. What do we need? Who are we targeting? And this is, discussions they've had going on for months. It's nothing, nothing that is just now coming to light. But, man, coaching a team, right, having, going through the season, drawing up all the game plans, all this other stuff, and then got to turn right around and re-recruit your players from last year's team, and sometimes you're successful, sometimes you're not, and then you have to plan for the future, not only in high school recruiting, but you also have to have your staff, and they have people to do this, but everybody kind of goes in front of, right, all these possible additions go in front of the head coach at some point. That just adds to the layers of the responsibility of being a head coach. And I love college sports. If I had an in and, just to kind of watch the process, I think that'd be fascinating, right? I think all of us who follow college sports would be interested to see just kind of how the process really works, because we hear so much about this, it's the transfer portal. Oh, the mysterious place of wonder and whimsy. Maybe not, that, but a transfer portal. What is the portal? What does it look like? Who's doing what? Is it? It's probably just a list of names on a computer screen that only select people have access to. But it sounds so mysterious. But it probably is the most mundane thing in the world when you think about it. But the process of this, the way it's evolved over the last 5 years, right? The portal came into existence. BC before COVID times, right? It was 2018, 2019, that time frame that it became a thing, but it wasn't as popular, wasn't as utilized, wasn't as important, right? You can make the argument to the game that it is right now. So just watching kind of the evolution of this and how we view it, how we talk about it, how we approach it, how coaches approach it, it's a pretty interesting place to be in. And the process is what the process is, and I'm sure the process is continually changing because now you have the roster limits, right? You had the house settlement that kind of changed the game when it came to, how many players you can have on your roster. There's the whole grandfathering in progress too. So we've learned, and this is not just in the last couple months, not last couple, weeks, whatever. Last several years, we've learned that things can change and things can change quickly. And so silence right now from your team, right? If you're an Iowa fan, Iowa State fan, not seeing a ton of movement either in or out doesn't necessarily mean that, they ain't working, because they're working and they have to work. Especially when you lose key pieces, right? Iowa State losing Taman Lipsey, losing Joshua Jefferson. You don't know what's going to happen with a Milan Momcilovic, right? Does he declare for the NBA? Does he go to the NBA? Does he come back for a final season with Iowa State? For Iowa, right? Bennett Sturts, right? Got to replace him. Got to be a high level player in the portal that you replace him with. I think that's key even if it's not a top tier, right, power four kind of guy, someone who's got a pretty strong skill set. You're never going to get another Bennett Sturitz, but, you know, how do you replace him with someone who can do as close to what he did in the 2025-26 season and help you maintain that momentum moving forward? You know, a lot of rumblings, at least from what I'm seeing, you know, just on the boards and stuff like that, about Alvaro Fulgaris, right? You have a tournament like he had, and yeah, he's at a power four school, but power four schools are not immune from being poached, right? We know that. I mean, North Carolina calling for some, Duke's calling for somebody, and someone who's got a lot of cash. Texas Tech, even, right? They're sometimes calling for somebody. Like, no one is immune to poaching, whether it's coaches, whether it's players, right? And so if you're a player like Alvaro, who didn't have the best end to the tournament, right, barely played against Illinois, had some key moments, though, right? The big shot against Florida, the breakaway on the play where Nebraska had four players on the court, right, that helped seal that win, that huge dunk that really sealed the victory in the Sweet 16 there. I don't care what school you're at, right? It's not the same, but it's similar to the Bennett Sturt story. It's, well, hey, he was a Robert Morris, and McCollum did this with him at Iowa, and, yeah, his production was a little up and down. It wasn't as consistent throughout the season as you would have liked, but he performed, on the biggest stage in the NCAA tournament. So is it a surprise to see some reports out there from On3 and other sources that there are some schools out there that are possibly looking at him and he's asking about his future, thinking about his future, whether it's in Iowa City or somewhere else? No, it's not. You get noticed. It's easier to get noticed, right? And it's harder to have somebody be a best-kept secret in 2026 with the transfer portal. So nothing surprises me. There's some mild surprise. I don't want to say nothing surprises me. Things can still surprise you, but when you look at what surprises you kind of in the context of where we are right now, I think it lessens the surprise a little bit. Am I wrong on that? 319-366-1600. I think it's the surprise, maybe, especially when it comes to players transferring, is maybe a little bit less. It's still there, but maybe it's just a little bit less. When you consider the current state of college sports, you consider how much money is involved, you consider still the transfer rules are what they are, right? The portal is open. You have the portal window, but you can enter, right? There's still no, like, okay, if you do this, you have to sit out. That doesn't exist anymore. So when you look at it in context, at least to me, surprising, yes, and I'm not speaking of anybody in particular. Again, reports are this, reports are that, nothing definitive with any player that I've mentioned except for the ones we know have moved on. But when you look at things, look at your surprises, man, why did this person enter the portal? Well, in the context of things, why didn't they? Because if you're a player and you're not at least testing the waters, and loyalty still is there in some cases, but it's much, much different than 5 years ago and especially 10 years ago because things have changed so much. 319-366-1600. What's apparently not changing, at least in the near future, is Ben McCollum's status as the head coach at the University of Iowa. Both the Des Moines Register and the Cedar Rapids Gazette reporting last night that Beth Goetz, the athletic director at the University of Iowa, saying university plans to extend his contract following the successful first season in Iowa City. Goetz saying that she and Ben, quote, have been in close contact throughout the tournament and feel like we're certainly going to make changes to his agreement. She said there is no official timeline as to when that contract extension would be made official. it would include both length and monetary changes, according to the reporting by the Register and the Cedar Rapids Gazette. So it sounds like that contract extension is imminent. When it will be announced, when it will be made public, is certainly something that we're still waiting on, information we're still waiting on. But it sounds like they are going to pay him and give him more time in Iowa City. Still does not, I think, erase the maybe the fears in the back of your mind. I talked about this briefly yesterday. The fears in the back of your mind, if you're an Iowa fan about the Kansas job opening potentially in the next few years. Look, and this is true for, and not to just rehash what I said yesterday, but this is true for every school, right, that has, especially you see a blue blood school like North Carolina open up, Kansas, if and when Bill Self calls it a career. You see them look at places where coaches have been successful. Where a coach has been successful this year, Iowa and Iowa State, right? And T.J. Otzelberger has said it, and I believe McCollum has said it. I'm sure he has. If he hasn't, then maybe I'm putting words in his mouth, and that's shame on me. But it's the indication of a successful program to have others look at you. I think it's the same indication of a successful program to have other teams look at your players for the transfer portal, but that's a different topic. But in terms of other schools looking toward your coach, right, whether it's McCollum or Otzelberger, it is a very good indictment of the program. Indictment, maybe not the best word there, but you understand what I'm saying. It shows where the program is at. It shows that you're having success. If you're, I'm going to throw a name out there, Steve Peichel. And I like Steve Peichel. I think he's a decent coach, but you know, he's brought Rutgers up from nothingness, but they're an average basketball team, right? You're Steve Peichel. If you're the guy at Penn State, Mike Rhodes, is that the dude's name at Penn State? I mean, you know, you're a decent coach. You have a couple wins here and there. I mean, but you have success at X school. Hey. Blue bloods are going to notice. The bigger schools are going to know. Even some bigger schools in your own conference are going to notice the success that you're having, right? So wear it as a badge of honor. That means your team is doing something well. And we'll see. Things can certainly change a couple years down the road, right? Especially if the success is sustained. I think, and this is me projecting way too far ahead, we'll see next March what happens. But I think with Iowa, there's going to be continued success. At least the foundation is set for it. Will they get to the Elite Eight every year? Certainly the hope if you're an Iowa fan. Not guaranteed. We know that. You could be a better team and lose earlier. Right? You can be a better team overall and lose in the Sweet 16. Lose in the second round. Get upset by a 12 seed and lose in the first round. And that could happen. You could end up in Dayton. You just don't know what the season's going to look like. But if there's sustained success, more and more teams are going to come calling. North Carolina reportedly wanted to interview Ben McCollum. We talked about this briefly yesterday. He turned it down, reports say, and then we're on our merry way, at least for another 365 days. We'll see what happens. But Beth Getz saying as much to a couple different sources that contract extension, something they're working on, sounds like it's all but imminent and certainly will be well-deserved. He signed a six-year deal, $22.75 million, runs through 2030, 2031. And sounds like I said, both years and pay being added on to that, according to the reporting. 319-366-1600. White Sox baseball just wrapped up, losing to the Orioles 5-3. We'll check out that full-on scoreboard for you coming up here in just a bit. Mitch Keller, Cedar Rapids native, pitched today in Pittsburgh. Did it go well for him? I'll have that answer for you coming up before 5 o'clock. Royals and Brewers both in action today, too. And the Cubs coming up at 5:40 tonight, about an hour and 10 minutes away from the first pitch of the series finale between the Cubs and the Tampa Bay Rays. We'll take you up till 5:05 when the radio pregame starts here on 1600 ESPN. 319-366-1600. Let's do this. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll get you a Masters update from Augusta. Every time I say Masters, I have to play the music. It's in my contract. Believe it or not, it's not really in my contract. I just want to play the music of Augusta here on 1600 ESPN. But we will get you seriously a Masters update as the tournament begins tomorrow. Westwood One Sports got you covered with the latest from Augusta coming up in just a bit here on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
Light rain showers and perhaps a thunderstorm will continue into this evening as well as early tonight. We'll start to see some clearing later on tonight, though, as temperatures fall back into the lower 40s. Clouds will start to move back in throughout the day on Thursday with more chances for showers and perhaps a thunderstorm by the afternoon and evening. High temperatures will reach to around 60 degrees. Rain showers will continue into Thursday night but will be dry on Friday with mostly sunny skies and high temperatures in the upper 50s. And that was a check for Weather First Forecast. I'm meteorologist Kason Frericks.
You know your business needs a digital strategy, but what exactly does that mean? Is it SEO, social media management, targeted advertising? In a word, yes, and quite a bit more. But KZIA's local CI Digital Group will help you sort it all out. Start with our free digital assessment, and we'll help you from there. Visit cidigitalgroup.com, click Learn More, and discover all the ways KZIA's local CI Digital Group will help your business be even better. cidigitalgroup.com.
Tune in to 1600 ESPN every weekday at 5 o'clock with Spencer on Sports for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Less than 4 in 10 kids aged 6 through 12 are playing sports regularly. 4 in 10 kids? Let it sink in. Just 4 in 10 kids. ESPN is building a nationwide coalition powered by Disney called Take Back Sports, with the purpose of training more coaches, expanding access, and creating community-driven sports programming that puts kids and fun first. We're working on that story. We hope you'll join us.
Visit TakeBackSports.org to learn more.
My name is Christine, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, was a healthy 34-year-old, and 3 months later, he was gone. Thankfully, he had life insurance. Ethos made it so easy. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. 100% online, no medical exam. Life insurance didn't take away the loss, but it did give us the space to just grieve.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/game. ethos.com/game.
Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
From the Augusta National Golf Club, Westwood One Sports presents this special report on the Masters, sponsored by Liberty Mutual. Liberty Mutual customizes your auto and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Scottie Scheffler has been number one in the world for almost 3 years running, and in that span, he won his second Masters. He also picked off half the majors in 2025, the PGA Championship and the British Open. Scheffler this week looked back on his parents taking out a $50,000 loan to join one of the elite country clubs in Dallas so he could sharpen his skills.
I grew up on the range at Royal Oaks watching professionals practice. I was fortunate they let me hang around from a young age, and so I just watched. I tried to learn. I tried to emulate them, and I always watched, and I felt like I could do the things that they did. And from a young age, I just continued to just try and do it. But it's weird. Like, I believe that I can make it out here, but I never expected it, if that makes sense.
And yet, here Scheffler is, the favorite yet again. He has wrapped up the par 3 contest. He is on the range right now, driver in hand. Scheffler in the second-to-last group to tee off in the first round tomorrow at 1:44 Eastern. He's alongside Gary Woodland and Robert McIntyre. You're listening to coverage of the 2026 Masters on Westwood One.
At Liberty Mutual, we love helping people with things like customizing car insurance, just like how we customize a song for you. Catered country tune. Liberty Mutual, saving you bucks by protecting your truck. Cause Bertie told me to only pay for what I need. Thank you, Limu. I'll always trust a Limu. With Liberty, 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 Liberty.
With Fidelity Wealth Management, a dedicated advisor gets to know you and your goals to build a comprehensive plan to help grow and protect your wealth. Backed by a team of specialists, they'll analyze all your accounts, even the ones they don't manage, to keep an eye on taxes and provide proactive portfolio insights that can help you unlock your wealth's full potential. Learn more at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSC, SIPC.
Aaron Rye wins the par 3 contest with a score of 6 under. The Englishman will try to make history as the first par 3 winner to also win the green jacket the same week. The first par 3 contest was in 1960. We had 4 aces today from Justin Thomas, Wyndham Clark, Keegan Bradley, and Tommy Fleetwood. Bradley, in fact, became the first player to have a hole-in-one at the par 3 contest in back-to-back years. Meanwhile, Tommy's 8-year-old son, Frankie, was so close to carrying the water with a drive at the ninth, he landed just to the right and got wet. Frankie said it'll be a long year ahead, waiting until next year to try again. From Augusta, I'm Ted Emmerich, Westwood One Sports.
This is Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
Power Hour edition of the show back with you here on 1600 ESPN. A little bit too jarring of a transition to go from Ted Emmerich with the peaceful tones of Augusta to this kind of rock and roll coming back talking sports. Eh, we'll work on it. It's fine. It happens. It adds some charm to the show, don't you think? 319-366-1600. Good question. I want to get into this story. I think we'll push spring football to tomorrow if we get some time. I actually have a full show tomorrow. 2 hours. I know. Incredible. I have to do my job for 2 hours tomorrow. It's incredible. 4-6 here at 1600 ESPN. Going to try to squeeze in some spring football talk tomorrow. In fact, I believe we're going to get some fresh sound from the Iowa camp tomorrow morning. So we'll pause that because this story came out today. The NCAA proposing changes to the eligibility rules, and that's been, of course, a topic of great debate. A few of you texting in on that on the text line. 5131 with the question just before the break there. How do these so-called student-athletes transfer with classes? At least my understanding is they finish out the semester that they're in. As much as they can, and it might differ from case to case. That's the hope, right? That's my logical brain, and you know me, I'm way too logical to be in this industry, right? I'm supposed to sit here and spew just awful takes and put my foot in my mouth over and over again for a 2-hour period. So me being logical and rational and maybe a little bit naive doesn't cut it in this industry. I understand that fully. Ideally, perfect world, right? Sunshine, rainbows, and puppies. Everything's fine. They want to transfer. They finish out the semester. So say if you're transferring from Iowa to Western Illinois, I drop back for whatever reason. I don't know. Transfer from Creighton to Iowa State. In the perfect world, you'd finish out your semester, finish out the classes you have at X school, Creighton, Iowa, Western Illinois. I don't know. I don't know why I'm picking on these schools. And then transfer when you're done there. I don't necessarily know if that's how it actually goes, right? I'm assuming that's what happens because, they do have to take classes. They are still student-athletes, but we've lost the plot at so many different points over the last 5 years, right, about student athletes, what that really means, right? They still got to go to class, right? And that's the whole thing with the college football portal window, one of the big things. Well, why can't they just move the calendar around? Why is it not so simple, right? Here's a calendar idea for college football. Well, they still have to work around class schedules. They got to work around breaks. They got to work around this. When does the semester start? You still have to adhere to that calendar, even though the focus of the sport, speaking of college football, speaking of college basketball, is anything but, if we're being real, right? Like, that's still what the heart of this is. Like, they're still in college to get an education, but the people who run the sport are just kind of like, yeah, well, they got games to play. They got practice and stuff. It doesn't matter. It should matter, but it doesn't. The priorities. Winning football games is important. Going to school is also important. In fact, it's the reason why you're there. But is that a long way saying I'm not really sure to answer the question? I guess, but ideally it should be you finish it out. If you transfer from Iowa to somewhere else, you transfer from somewhere to Iowa or Iowa State, you finish at your previous school, you transfer in to your new school. That's what should happen. Does that happen 100% of the time? I don't have a good answer for that. I will be 100% real with you. But what should happen is the scenario that I laid out. What probably happens is I'm done here. Peace out. See ya. And you're kind of just, well, what happened to your degree at this university? It's on hold. You transfer the credits, you just pick back up where you left off. I think that's most of the time what happens. A warning from 85, I think it's a tongue-in-cheek warning from 8582 about extending Ben McCollum, trying to draw comparisons between McCollum and Jerome Tang. 8582 pointing out that Jerome Tang also got to the Elite Eight. Yeah, but who do you trust more as a coach? And I think the answer overwhelmingly will be Ben McCollum. Who do you trust more, Ben McCollum or Jerome Tang? 319-366-1600. I'm humoring the texter. Look, who knows, man? Maybe it was a one-year thing. I don't know. We could be sitting here and if the show still exists in 2028. Well, they haven't been to the Elite Eight yet. Got knocked out in the first round in the last three seasons. I don't know. And the NIT 3 years in a row. We don't know how this is going to go. But the track record of McCollum's teams from D2 to Drake to now 1 year at Iowa shows me that this was not a miracle run with someone else's team, right? It was not a get off on the right foot and then everything tanks. That just shows me that that's not good. History shows me that's not going to be the case. And I understand the text was probably meant tongue in cheek, but McCollum greater than Tang. We're doing coach math problems here on the show. 319-366-1600. Quick overview of the story. There's going to be plenty more on this and plenty more lawsuits, I'm sure, as well. But if you saw this, Yahoo Sports was the first with this. The NCAA, they are considering a major overhaul of eligibility rules, which could potentially be the biggest shift in years. The overall goal, according to the reporting from Yahoo, is to create what they want, what they say are clearer, more consistent, less loophole-driven rules in this era of college athletics. The big part of this, and of course, late last week, we did have an executive order signed by President Trump about college sports. An executive order is not a law, but it is suggestions. And I try to keep politics out of this, but there is a part we need to acknowledge here of this. It is directives toward agencies, including the NCAA. NCAA is not a government agency, but you understand what I'm saying. A directive as to how the person in charge would like to see things progress and how they would like to see things done. And part of this, part of that executive order was a five-year eligibility rule. And there's a lot more to it, and we only have a short time today, and I don't necessarily want to dive too far into this, but part of this is stemming from that, and it's important to point that out. But athletes in this proposal that Yahoo Sports is reporting on would get five full years of eligibility starting at age 19 or high school graduation. And this essentially standardizes the clock instead of the five-year window in four seasons model. So what it ultimately means, and there's a lot of discussion about this now in the industry circles, less flexibility for student athletes who are late bloomers, right? The red shirt rule, this rule would remove red shirts entirely. So that takes away a big piece to the pie, right? You can't have someone be a red shirt, take a red shirt year and then become a redshirt freshman if this does go into effect. It does create more structure, right, when you look at the pieces of this. But there are a lot of questions about how this impacts, again, players who, maybe need to develop a little bit more. You can't just slap a redshirt on someone and let them train, let them maybe play a little bit, right? We talked about the redshirt rules changing for football and how many games you can play. Essentially, that's done because redshirts are removed entirely with this. Does include medical redshirts as well. So that changes a lot of things if a player gets hurt, right? In year one, well, you lose eligibility. There's no turning back. There's no do-over essentially with this. It's a case of bad luck. That's what it becomes. And I'm sure there's going to be some pushback on that. There's going to be some pushback from the coaches on it about just how this impacts roster building. It gives kind of the uniform layer of, hey, this is how many years you get. You get 5 years starting at age 19 or with graduation, and that's it. There are some exceptions to it, right? There's, I think, a military service exception. There's a religious mission exception as well. But it does mean you're not going to see 6th-year, 7th-year players, right? I mean, fewer of them. A lot of this would be grandfathered in, of course. So if a player like this is currently on the roster, if and when this does take effect, you're going to see a little bit, it's just like with the COVID years, right? You were in school at this time when the pandemic hit, you get this year back and stuff like that. It's going to lead to more of that where you're watching, like, isn't this guy like on year 8, right? It kind of feels that way, but with the grandfathering in process, you have to do that to be fair. But there's a lot of changes that could happen with this. I think especially with the cases that you've seen, you look at James Nagy. We talked about him yesterday because he's in the transfer portal. He was an NBA draft pick a couple seasons ago, and now he played college ball again this year, and now he's in the transfer portal. And there was the case with Alabama too, one of their players who was on an NBA roster and all this different stuff. Questions about eligibility, how many years, what can you do if you left school early? Do you get a year back? Like it all, I think, adds to the complication of it. But I think if you're truly going to figure this out, you got to start somewhere. And at least this is a starting point as currently written. Now, will this survive, committee process? Will this survive, legal challenges? I don't know. Probably not. Just knowing how things have operated and the NCAA tries to do something and up lawsuit challenging, but it's trying to make things uniform in terms of eligibility. How many years you get, the standard eligibility rules. Am I saying I like it? I haven't read enough about it, to be honest with you, to say yes or no to it. But as a fan of college sports, right, I think you got to start somewhere, and starting somewhere is better than not starting somewhere. So at least there's something. It's not necessarily on paper. It hasn't been presented to NCAA committees just yet. The timeline for approval of this remains unclear. Like I said, it's expected to be phased in if it's approved by the NCAA and their rulemaking committees. But, major overhaul, right? I think it's needed. But will we get to a point where it's, okay, this makes sense, right? This is something we can all agree on. I don't know if we'll ever get there. That's the key point with it. But that story, you can read more at Yahoo Sports. Ross Dellinger, who does a good job with them, one of their senior college football writers, reporting that earlier today. I don't know what it would mean. There are a few questions about could this player come back if these rules go into effect. I think that's what the legal battles are going to be, right? Can a player, if this rule goes into effect, can a player come back? They only played four. Do they get that fifth year back? But they're already like 2 years out of school. I mean, to me, it's, well, no, you had your chance, but there's going to be someone out there who says, well, I deserve to. You were talking about this when, you know, I was in school, therefore I deserve to get this year back. Someone's going to say it out there. Some athlete is going to bring it to the court system, and then there'll be changes again. We'll see where it all ends up. But the NCAA putting out NCAA committee next week expected to explore this, according to Ross Dellinger at Yahoo Sports, and it would be that major overhaul of eligibility rules. 5 years standard eligibility. Starting at age 19, if it is approved in that manner. 319-366-1600. Quick timeout. We'll wrap things up with the sports menu. It's coming up next here on 1600 ESPN.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Where are you going with that?
Gonna install our new mailbox.
You're forgetting something.
Mailbox, post, shovel, my awesome muscles. What else do I need?
To call 811.
Who's 811?
Iowa One Call. You need to call them to mark the utility lines before you dig.
Oh, no, that's only for big stuff.
It's for any kind of digging.
It's just a little pole.
Okay, well, let's say you're digging for that little pole and you hit an electric line.
Yeah, that's bad. What if I was just putting in shrubs or something?
Any digging. You gotta call 811.
Oh man, I really wanted to do this today.
Too bad, buddy. You need to call at least 3 days before you're gonna dig so they have time to come mark the utility lines with those little flags.
All right, I'll call. What am I gonna do now?
Looks like the perfect day to clean out the shed.
Great.
April is Safe Digging Month, and Corridor Energy Cooperative reminds you that disrupting an underground utility line can interrupt service, cause injuries, and cost money to repair. So call 811 before you dig.
Corridor Energy Cooperative, powering our communities together.
Can your business or farm operation afford another electricity rate hike? Eagle Point Solar can help you take advantage of federal tax credits and 100% bonus depreciation before these programs sunset. Hurry, deadlines are fast approaching. Request a free solar analysis estimate today and take control of rising electricity costs once and for all. Not all clients are eligible for the federal investment tax credit. Consult with an Eagle Point Solar energy consultant or visit eaglepointsolar.com for full details.
Join the Iowa Heartlanders for Landers Fan Fest this Sunday, presented by United Iowa Financial. It's all about you, the fans, as they celebrate five incredible seasons of Heartlanders hockey in the corridor. Kick things off with a pregame tailgate on the Extreme Arena Plaza. Food, fun, and fan energy. Then head inside for an LED foam finger giveaway, pregame pyrotechnics, and more. Puck drops at 3 p.m. this Sunday at Extreme Arena and the Iowa River Landing. Don't wait. This is a high-demand game. Get your tickets now at iowaheartlanders.com.
Harry Douglas here. Game day brings the excitement. Your stay should feel just as memorable. With Marriott Bonvoy, official hotel partner of the NCAA and U.S. Soccer, you're connected to a portfolio of brands designed for how you travel. Some offer complimentary breakfast, others give you room to spread out, space to stay productive, or extended stay comforts. So whether you're a traveling fan or part of the team, Marriott Bonvoy celebrates the moments that live on before and after the game. Marriott Bonvoy, where game day checks in. Harry Douglas here to tell you about Confetti Craze 5-Hour Energy. It tastes just like the best birthday cake ever. Vanilla, buttery, frosting vibes. It's basically a party in a bottle. And here's the best part. All cake, no sugar. And you know I love my cake. So I get that big birthday energy without any sugar guilt. The bottle's small, easy to toss in my bag, and perfect when I need a quick, tasty caffeine boost to cakeify my day. The Funfetti flavor is back on 5hourenergy.com or Amazon. Crack open a Confetti Craze 5-Hour Energy shot today.
This is Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
Only a couple minutes left in a Power Hour show here on 1600 ESPN. Cubs pregame show comes up in about 10 minutes here on 1600 ESPN. You can catch it on all of our radio frequencies tonight. 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City. Quick check of what's happening tonight in sports. Let's do that with the sports menu.
What are you eating?
Instant mashed potatoes for frozen TV dinners.
And I want to know why it didn't have mayonnaise.
Okay. On the menu today, we have...
We'll take a look at the Major League Baseball scoreboard here in just a moment. But first, got an important game happening in Iowa City tonight, 5 o'clock on the Big Ten Network, just moments away. Cy-Hawks softball. Yup. Down in Iowa City. First of two meetings between the Hawkeyes and Cyclones on the softball diamond. Play again coming up on April 21st in Ames. Iowa 21-16. Iowa State 22-15 coming into tonight's game. See who can come out on top. Iowa State won the last meeting. See if the Hawkeyes can get a key win over their in-state rival tonight. But that's on the menu tonight. Iowa baseball was supposed to have a midweek game yesterday, actually, but that got canceled, postponed at least. It was up in Milwaukee against the UW-Milwaukee Panthers, but they will be in action next out in California against USC. Major League Baseball, let's run through the scoreboard here for you, at least the games that have wrapped up here today. Had the Royals and Guardians in action earlier this afternoon, the Guardians winning 10-2. Big day for Angel Martinez, 4-for-5 with a grand slam in the win for the Guards. Bobby Witt Jr., 2-for-4 with a double, drove in a run in the loss for Kansas City. Brewers bats went silent today against Boston. Red Sox win that series. They win the rubber match 5-0 over the Brew Crew. White Sox fall to Baltimore today 5-3. That was at Rate Field on the south side of Chicago. Pirates lose, give up a bunch of runs in the late innings. Not a bad outing for Mitch Keller today. 6 innings, 3 hits, no runs, a walk, and struck out 4. But he saddled with the no decision because his bullpen gave up 2 4-run innings as the Padres beat the Pirates 8-2 over at PNC Park. Cardinals in action right now. They lead the Nationals 4-1. Over in Washington, D.C. Cubs coming up at 5:40 tonight. Iowa native Colin Ray, Cascade native Colin Ray on the hill at 5:40 tonight opposite Joe Boyle. You'll hear more about that matchup coming up in just moments here on 1600 ESPN. Reds are in Miami tonight at 5:40. Brady Singer and Yuri Perez, your mound matchup there. And the Twins and the Tigers up at Target Field in Minneapolis at 6:40. Bailey Ober on the hill against Framber Valdez for Detroit. Other games currently in progress. Blue Jays up on the Dodgers, top of the ninth there. Jays up 4-3. Rockies, Colorado Rockies, leading the Houston Astros 8-1. That game in the eighth inning. Giants up on Philly 4-0. That in the bottom half of the eighth. Braves and Angels. Did you see that brawl last night? Jorge Soler and Reynaldo Lopez, both suspended 7 games. They're appealing that suspension. Braves up on the Angels right now, 8-2. And just wrapping up the sixth in New York, the Diamondbacks, they are at the Mets. They lead 5-1. Also tonight in baseball, aside from the 3 Central Division games we mentioned, the A's are in New York against the Yankees. NBA, 2 national TV games tonight, Cleveland hosting Atlanta, and San Antonio is hosting Portland this evening. Those both on ESPN. Hockey doubleheader on TNT this evening. Buffalo at the Rangers, and Edmonton is at San Jose. That is the Power Hour for today. A full show. Yes, a full show. 4 till 6 tomorrow here on 1600 ESPN. Going to talk to the coach, Kevin Lehman, one final time at 4:30. Also get to that spring football talk wanted to get to. Take a look at baseball. Got a Cubs report coming up for you tomorrow on the show and a whole lot more. So, looking forward to being back on for the full 2 hours here tomorrow on 1600 ESPN. Quick Sports Center update followed by Cubs baseball next on 1600 ESPN.
You're sitting at a red light or stuck in traffic.